Several weeks ago, we started a series of lessons entitled Midnight Bible Stories. And they're all throughout Scripture. There's a lot of them. And they're left there as encouragements to us. I can't think of a midnight Bible story that doesn't end positive, even though it might have started off looking like something else. Now, last time I was here, and I'd like to thank again Ray Quintana for filling in last week when we were all filling in for everybody. but a couple of weeks ago, we started another midnight Bible story that's kind of different in the fact that there was no real dark rescue taking place or dark time, but it is a midnight Bible story that is very encouraging. It's in Luke 2, and let's read it again. I think that would be the smart thing to do, and then we'll get on with this. This is a particular midnight Bible story I've entitled The Shepherds and the Lamb of God. We start in Luke 2:8. And it says, and there were, in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And so would have you and me been. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels, which was this multitude of heavenly hosts, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, whoa. No, it doesn't say that. But I'm sure they did. They said, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, we entitled this chapter of our Midnight Bible Stories, The Shepherds and the Lamb of God, because the shepherds were the first among men outside of Mary and Joseph to witness Jesus here on earth. Ponder that thought for a little while on your own and see where the Holy Ghost takes you. It's the shepherds. You would think it would have been somebody more important than shepherds as we would have thought of it, but it wasn't. Consider why were the shepherds so privileged. If you ever really thought about it for very long, well, there's a multitude of good answers as to why the shepherds were the first privileged to witness the Lamb of God here on earth. These shepherds weren't highly looked upon by man, and they spent their days and nights keeping watch over their flocks. These were lowly men. They were humble men to whom God could reveal some profound truths unto. These shepherds were awake at night. They were paying close attention to their sheep. That was their business. Stated another way, they were watchful shepherds, concerned for their sheep and their little lambs. They loved their little lambs. They loved their sheep. And these shepherds remain a testimony to us, for because they were awake at night and watching, and because they were awake at night and watching, they got to be among the first to see and to be with Jesus, the Lamb of God, at his first coming. Did you catch that? They were awake at night and watching, and they got to be the first to witness the Lamb of God at his first coming. May we be like these humble shepherds, awake at night and watching, so that we will be in that first rank to see Jesus at his second coming. It would be 30 years from this time before John the Baptist would proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God." That would be in John 1:29 and John 1:36. Well, 30 years ahead of this, the shepherds got to behold the Lamb of God. They did this on the night of his birth. They were told in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, according to Luke 2:17. These shepherds were first privileged to see Jesus because God wanted them to be the first to announce the facts about the arrival of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We'll talk about this in a little bit more detail here this morning. But how many people really listen to the shepherds? Because when you get to Matthew, the second chapter, by that time Jesus was 2 years old when the wise men came. And they diligently inquired as to where does Jesus would be. But nobody listened to the shepherds. They could have gone out and talked to them, and they would have told them what they saw. But they didn't do it. You don't read of any record after this of anybody ever listening to the shepherds. Isn't that something? There were five tasks of a Near Eastern shepherd found mentioned in the Strong's Concordance. The first thing was the shepherd was to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep. The second thing, they were to defend the sheep from attackers. The third thing about shepherds, they were there to heal the wounded and sick sheep. They also, the fourth thing, were to find and save lost or trapped sheep. And five, they were to love them, sharing their lives, and in so doing, earning their trust. Perhaps this brings a little bit more meaning to the following statements found concerning Jesus found in John 10. In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." That's John 10:11. "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Did he not do this for us? In John 10:14, he says again, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." And then in John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In Hebrews 13, 20, we find a statement that the Apostle Paul makes concerning our Lord Jesus. And he says in Hebrews 13, 20, "Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." Recall when Paul addressed the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, in verse 28, Acts 20, 28, Paul made this statement to the Ephesian elders, who were in essence the keepers of the Ephesian sheep. He says to them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers," shepherds, "to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." Back to Luke 2. No doubt the reason the shepherds in this midnight Bible story of Luke 2, the reason they were keeping watch over their flock by night was that it was lambing season. Springtime, in other words, when the little lambs would be most vulnerable. And the beasts of prey would be out in force at the midnight hours during this time of the year because the newborn lambs were an easy target. Now, we also know that the shepherds were often needed to help the sheep in giving birth, and they would have shown the most tender care and compassion for these newborn lambs. What better group of rough guys to show the Lamb of God to? No wonder God wanted him to be the first to witness the Lamb of God. And so we find that no doubt it was during springtime when Jesus was born. We got to put aside traditional thinking and go along with what we find in Scripture. The Scripture is true. Go back to 1 Samuel 17. You know that David, he was a little shepherd boy. He also tended sheep in the hillsides near Bethlehem, just like these shepherds were doing. And he told King Saul some of the hazards he faced while watching over the lambs. 1 Samuel 17, 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." Now, Scott told me if this happened to him, adios, sheep. He wasn't going to stand up against no lion or no bear. But there's a good story and a good lesson here, what kind of heart David had. That particular shepherd boy named David went on to become the king of Israel. And as you know, Jesus Christ was of the lineage of David, as is noted in Luke 2:4. Now, think about this. You know, David watched sheep there in the hillsides near Bethlehem. These sheep found in our midnight Bible story of Luke 2, these sheep were descendants of David's sheep, no doubt, a long ways down the road. Didn't David have a lot to say about the Lord being his shepherd, especially in the 23rd Psalm? And no doubt, David got quite an education from watching over his father's flocks. You know, you waste your time doing something, but do you learn anything there? Well, he was kind of about his father's business, wasn't he? Watching the sheep. Brother Ernie Austin was a shepherd when he was a young man. And I used to ask Ernie about sheep because he watched them as his youth. And he learned a lot of good lessons watching the sheep. And I could try to glean a thought or two from him every now and then. And he had some very profound observations concerning sheep. And when I had a question or two about sheep, I'd ask him about it. And some people said some things that weren't true, and I asked him the truth about sheep. He said, no, that's not the way it works, you know, with sheep. I says, yeah, that's what I thought. Brother Ray Quintana back there, he also spent some time watching his father's sheep while growing up, and I called him and I quizzed him on this a little bit about 3 weeks ago. And one of the things he told me was one way to calm down the sheep at night was to sing to them. Now, that might, depending on how your singing is, might not calm them down. But in Ray's case, it worked. The other thing he could do was to play some soft music. I wonder if David ever played soft music to his sheep. Well, the other thing you can do is speak to them in calming tones. You know, if you're yelling at them, what are they going to do? They're going to run. But if you're saying, it's okay, calm down, little sheep. In 1 Samuel 16, 23, we read a little bit about David's music, which he probably first practiced on his father's sheep. 1 Samuel 16:23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Again, no doubt, the sheep David watched were the first audience that he had to hear the sweet psalmist of Israel play his music and hear his sweet singing unto the Lord during the darkest of midnight hours. Now, again, in Luke 2, our shepherds in this midnight Bible story were awake and watching their sheep when all of a sudden the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, as we read in Luke 2:9. What would you do if in the middle of a midnight the angel of the Lord came upon you and the glory of the Lord shone round about you some dark midnight hour? No doubt all of us would be just as startled as the shepherds in our midnight Bible story were. However, their fear was only momentary, for in verses 10 through 12 of Luke 2, we read this, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." Look that up sometime. We'll get to that here in a minute. Fear not. There's a lot of fear nots in the Bible. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, let's note some facts told the shepherds in this midnight Bible story. There are several facts we find here. First, they were told to fear not. And the words "fear not" are totally interchangeable with the phrase "be not afraid." Most often the words fear not and be not afraid are heavenly words of encouragement spoken to those who would be overcomers, to those who did become overcomers. Be not afraid. Fear not. The words then, fear not and be not afraid, are the backbone of faith. These words, fear not and be not afraid, urge the hearer to move forward and become a full overcomer. Go to Genesis 15:1. We're going to read the first time we find these words, fear not. And Abraham, before he was called Abraham, back when he was called Abram, he was the first one recorded in Scripture to hear the words, fear not. And guess what? It was the Lord who spoke these words to Abram in Genesis 15:1. And it says there, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Didn't Abraham, after he was called Abraham, go on to be called the father of those who walk in the steps of faith? That's found in Romans 4:12, where it says concerning Abraham, the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Abraham grasped the concept of fear not. He grasped this by faith. And if you look in the Hebrews 11, he went on to be highlighted more than any other individual in Hebrews 11, where we read of the Old Testament worthies of faith. Fear not. There's a lot of fear nots in Abraham's life. Here's another thought. Abraham was also a shepherd. Wonder if he spent any nights out with his sheep. He was a shepherd, right? In Genesis 24:35 notes how Abraham had flocks. Flocks of what? Geese? No. Flocks of sheep. He had herds. Herds of what? Cattle. And so the flocks are associated with sheep. The herds associated with cattle. Abraham was very familiar with lambs. And one of the most profound and prophetic statements in Scripture is found in Genesis 22:8. And Abraham, in this chapter of Genesis 22, was with Isaac. And Isaac was to be offered on the altar. And he told Isaac, his son, God will provide himself a lamb. What did that point to? Christ, the Lamb of God. That's a profound portion of Scripture. Back to our shepherds in Luke 2. The shepherds of Luke 2 were the first to lay eyes upon the Lamb of God, and they did so on the night of his birth because they heeded the word of the angel of the Lord to fear not. Yeah, it would have been something that they would have scattered themselves at this point in time, but they didn't. They feared not. And when you do your study on the phrase fear not, you'll find that it's associated with many of the Old Testament icons of faith, such as Abraham, as we mentioned, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, and Zechariah, are all told to fear not. The angel of God also spoke the words, fear not, to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. I think you'll find that in Luke 1, about verse 15. He also spoke those words to Mary, the mother of Jesus. He also spoke those words, fear not, to Joseph, Mary's husband. And he also spoke those words to our apostle Paul in Acts 27, 24. So again, the words, fear not, and be not afraid, are the backbone of faith. The words, fear not, can be found in 62 scriptures, and the phrase, be not afraid, is found mentioned 28 times in 26 verses. I don't have a meaning for the number 62, but the number 28 points to eternal life, whom the great shepherd of the sheep gives us, according to John 10:28. And the number 26 is associated with the gospel and the good news of the gospel, which can be summed up in the words of 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. The second thing, back here in Luke 2, told the shepherds in this midnight Bible story, was that they were to behold something. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Behold is a word that we do not commonly use in today's language. But what it means is, to call to attention to what may be seen or heard or apprehended in any way. This meaning comes from Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. In other words, when the shepherds were told to behold, they were being told to hear something of major importance and then to go see with their own eyes something of greater importance. Fear not, behold. The third fact made known by the angel of the Lord to these shepherds in our midnight Bible story was that they were being brought good tidings of great joy, and these good tidings were to be unto all people. Good tidings is a term used of any message designed to cheer those who receive it. Furthermore, these good tidings were to be received with invigorating joy. That is the kind of joy God's preeminent blessings, the kind of joy that is better felt than dealt, as Brother Hill would used to say. I think you've all experienced that at one time or another. The fourth thing that the angel of the Lord made known unto the shepherd in this midnight announcement was that on this day was born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is the object of this most joyful news ever announced, that Jesus, our Savior, was born. God's amazing love was manifest in the flesh. So these shepherds were being privileged to be the first witnesses of seeing the Messiah, God's promised Savior, by whom are all things, and in him all things consist. They were not told that he is the Lamb of God, but he was. And the shepherds, who were accustomed to giving tender care unto the little helpless lambs, were told where to find Christ the Lord in Bethlehem. We're not told if these shepherds of Bethlehem knew what the prophet Isaiah wrote about 750 years earlier in Isaiah 9:6, whereas we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Perhaps they had heard this verse of Scripture. Nevertheless, they were about to witness the most important child ever born. And then the shepherds, the fifth thing they were given in this midnight Bible story, they were given a sign, their roadmap as where to find this Savior. They couldn't just Google it up. They were told. I know that was bad, wasn't it? Okay. They were told where to find this Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it says, "Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, the shepherds of all people wouldn't have any trouble finding this stable in Bethlehem. They'd been there many times before. They wouldn't be embarrassed by going there. They wouldn't be intimidated to come to such a place. They were hanging out in these kind of places all day long. And they might have even been in the same stable with their sheep. But they'd probably never seen a human baby born in a stable. There wasn't any mention of any wise men in the East here because this wasn't part of this midnight Bible story. That event would take place 2 years older when Jesus was a young child, as noted in Matthew 2. On the day of Jesus' birth, Jesus, the creator of the universe, was an infant baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, experiencing the human love of his mother Mary and Joseph. And he was also, think about it, experiencing the smells and the sounds of a stable. The angel of the Lord telling these shepherds about the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, was just the beginning of their adventure on this most wonderful midnight. We read what immediately happened next in Luke 2, 13 and 14. And it says, "And suddenly," but wait, there's more, right? "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" This heavenly host was angels, as is found in Luke 2:15. And Hebrews 1:6 tells us this of angels. It says, "And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn begotten into the world, he saith, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.'" Why were these angels so excited to pass this news on concerning Jesus in Luke 2? Think about it. They hadn't seen him for 9 months. I imagine that every angel, when they came down to these shepherds and sang these praises, they probably made a passing glance over there in Bethlehem in the stable and stole a glimpse of baby Jesus as they passed back into heaven on that night. What a unique and grand sight these shepherds witnessed that same midnight. And we need to notice also in verse 13 of Luke 2 that these angels were not singing, but rather saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace goodwill toward men. Brother Hill used to always point out to us that nowhere in Scripture will you find angels singing. But the very same shepherds who calmed down their sheep by singing and sang soft words during dark midnight hours, they were also now themselves being calmed down by the angels praising God. This whole scene, if you think about it, is really hard to fathom. And only by faith can we appreciate what these shepherds witnessed on this particular midnight. There's more to the story, but you know what? We're going to run out of time here now. So rather than just interrupt the next thought, we'll pick it up next time, Lord willing. Thanks for your attention.